Arteta! What a strike!
As far as I know, the only football being played this week is Arsenal versus Napoli, and we're going to talk about it now. This is the Arsenal Vision post-match podcast, pre-match podcast, live edition. My name is Elliot Smith. You can block me on Twitter, Yankee Gunner. We are going to talk about the Napoli tie because, as far as I'm aware, no other football was played. And here to discuss the no other football that was played this week with me is Scott. You can find him at Twitter at @O_that_crab. Hello, Scott.
Yeehaw!
Oh my God, you clipped like crazy on that one. Man, you're really coming correct today. I'm glad. Hey, so...
been a while.
You know, it's one of these weird weeks where, you know, just waiting for this game, the build-up to this game, and no other football played this week. That's not true, actually. Manchester United played and lost, so that was cool.
There was a Premier League game yesterday, or on Tuesday.
Yeah. There was that.
Yeah, that big Cardiff, Brighton game, I think it was.
Oh, okay. You're going to have to sit just the tiniest bit further away from your microphone, or I'm going to be riding your sliders all day, and I do not want to ride your slider because I've heard some things about it. No football yesterday, though. We can agree on that, right?
I don't remember any football yesterday.
No football yesterday. Quick question before we get to the lineups in the pre-match, though. All kidding aside, I was a very, very strong supporter of VAR. I assume now we can agree VAR is history's greatest monster.
I still like it.
You still like it?
Still root for it.
Do you think, so can I ask you a question?
What about referees now?
In the game that didn't happen yesterday, do you think that's offside? For me, that's played back. That's a back pass. I don't think that the touch changes the fact that that's a back pass.
It looks offsides. I mean, it's to me, that's one that they're going to get on VAR. It's probably offsides.
You think so?
I think so.
I don't know. I thought it was back pass. I thought it was a back pass.
I think it comes off of Silva or last, though, doesn't it?
It's got to be intentional. That has to be an intentional touch.
I don't know. You see these called the other way, too, where, a defender makes a touch on something. And they say that because it just kind of went off of him, it's not offsides. I think you if you're gonna go that way, it's off of Silva last, so it's gonna be offsides. But it's one of those, offsides is tough, but by the letter of the law, I think it's an offside call.
I think we can agree that I'm very unbiased, and I think that it is not offside. I also think that the handball goal was a handball and should not have been allowed. So. It never should have been close.
About this is that I think this helps Arsenal's top four odds because that team in that game that didn't happen, they now have two more high intensity matches that are going to clog up their schedule and really kind of divert their focus. So I think there's a St. Tottenham's Day is even more likely now.
Okay,
giving you some silver lining to look for.
Okay, I'm being told it doesn't have to be intentional. Unfortunately, the touch for it to not be offside. Again, I want to be clear about this. In my totally unbiased opinion, the rules are whatever would have made that goal stand. Let's be clear about that.
And it's the same thing, like with the handball. It obviously went off of his forearm, but yeah. I guess with the way the laws are written now, that's a just fine goal, but they're changing the interpretation going into next year to where that any time a goal is scored after it touches a hand, doesn't matter where the hand placement is, it's not going to be a goal. So I guess it's fine for this year, but next year, VAR's coming for him.
Huh. Well, okay. Let's put it this way. I think that the problem with your statement is if... All right, let's do a would you rather. Would you rather Arsenal finish fifth and do not win the Europa League? So in other words, no Champions League football. Or Arsenal win the Europa and finish top four, but Spurs win the Champions League?
I think I'd rather the Arsenal win something and go into the Champions League. So they finish in top four, right? In addition to winning the Europa League?
We would finish top four and win the Europa League or no Champions League football next season, but in the top four when Spurs win the Champions League.
But they win? See, mm-hmm. I mean... I don't think that's the most likely situation. I think it's possible they get to a final. I think it's probably about a 50-50 chance against Ajax, but they're not going to beat either Liverpool or Barcelona.
You don't think so?
So, how about this one? How about this? Would you rather? Would you rather Spurs or Liverpool win the Champions League?
Liverpool? Are you out of your mind? Liverpool? Liverpool?
Liverpool do the Champions League Premier League double?
All right, I'm fine with it. Like, honestly, okay. Liverpool can win the next 10 Champions Leagues before. Here's the thing you got to realize, Scott. Once Spurs win the Champions League, they can say they've been champions of Europe. We can't even say we've been champions of Europe. Yeah. We cannot have that. We cannot have Tottenham Hotspur, champions of Europe. I mean, that is, to be fair, with the way society is going in general, Tottenham as champions of Europe just sort of works, given everything that's going on. But like no, can't happen, can't have it, can't allow it ever under any circumstance. I want to be clear about this. If Tottenham are champions of Europe, like, I fold up the tent, leave the sport forever. Like, this converts to an NFL podcast. Like, no, we're done. We're done with football forever. So, no. Okay. Well, let's move on, because basically I'm already getting nauseous just thinking about what we've just discussed. And we are all, by the way, the biggest Ajax fans ever. But we are also still Arsenal fans. So let's move off of that other team from North London, which, again, we are not aware of having played any match this week. And let's talk about the Arsenal match. So the lineups came out early, Scott, presumably to give us plenty of time to digest.
Yeah, it's been going out early with the Europa League.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hopefully we didn't blow our load early vis-a-vis the tie to go along with the lineup. So let's go over it. Check and goal. First thoughts right off the bat. Where do you stand on
expected, but I mean, it's a tough
one.
You know, I do feel fairly good because it's not like it was an Ospina or a Lucas Fabianski kind of situation where he's like clearly, you know, a huge step down. You know, I think Cech's still a decent goalkeeper. It's not like he's a liability per se. I prefer Leno, but I get it. And, you know, this is kind of like the agreement that he made with Cech. And so I'm fine with it. It's not the best thing, but it's fine.
Yeah, okay. I mean, my attitude with this, and I was really harsh on Cech's performance in the first leg, and I got some pushback from that. I didn't think he looked super convincing. I mean, the problem for me, the distribution is an issue, and building from the back and how important that's been for us. But I also just thought he had some weird punches where he could have caught. Like, he, for a guy who has won the Champions League and won the Premier League and played in massive games for club and country, he looked nervous to me. I mean, did you feel that the first leg performance was as nervy and questionable as I did, or was I just as usual?
there was some times. I think there was that one super dangerous cross that was it. I can't remember. Was it Milik that put it over from that close? I can't remember exactly who it was from Napoli that put it over. Mm-hmm. And that was the one that I think Leno has the athletic ability to step out and cut that out before it gets all the way across. But Cech just stayed rooted a little bit too much. But that's a really tough one.
Let me ask you this.
Right. It was a great cross. So I mean, I'm not really like blaming him for that, but I think that's definitely, you know, one of those situations where a more athletic guy who has that kind of, you know, front-footedness, who's going to be a little bit more aggressive, might go get that. I don't think it's that bad. You know, they are starting Milik today, so I think there are going to be some more, you know, crosses into the box, you know, maybe that they're looking to do, and I think Cech seems to handle those pretty well. You know, see, he's been in the Premier League for so long, and, you know, he's had to deal with that a lot, so I think it's going to be okay.
Okay.
I don't think this is going to be a game where Arsenal are going to have a ton of possession and we're really going to look to, you know, play out from the back a ton. I think this is going to be a game where we're going to look to be more direct and, you know, hit them on the counter.
What if it goes to penalties? God for fucking bid, but what if it goes to penalties?
Whew.
Would you sub in Leno?
I don't know. So I guess it depends. I mean, you know, maybe if it goes to, you know, the extra time, you know, so maybe it's, you know, 2-0 and, you know, we're tied, you know, maybe you get that extra, you know, get that extra time sub, you know, maybe that's the one you do. That puts a ton of pressure on Leno, though, to come in and have to save one.
Cech is notoriously bad at penalties. I think, yeah. I mean, you know, usually these things are what they are. They're what? They're about a 60% chance, period, and there's not a lot of variance. But with Cech, he's real bad at penalties.
Maybe in the actual penalties, because you're not having the best takers, but it's usually about a 75%, closer to 80% chance.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's continue with the lineup. So Maitland-Niles, Socrates, Koscielny, Monreal, Kolasinac. I love it. I love the back three. I love that there's
no surprises here.
Yeah, I love that there's no Mustafi, and I think the fact that Socrates didn't play at the weekend is great. There was a little question, I think, about whether Koscielny would play in this game. Just, you know, could he make it 3 days later? Obviously, you know, Emery believes he can. I don't find this surprising, and I think it's good news. Are you happy with that so far?
Exactly. No, I think this is the best that we can probably do right now, you know, as a back five. I think Arsenal right now are better suited for, you know, playing with the three center backs and the two wing backs. So mm-hmm. I think this is about the best that you can do defensively at Arsenal right now.
So it's a midfield three, stroke two with a 10, depending how you see it, Xhaka, Torreira, and Ramsey. Do you expect it to be Xhaka and Torreira sitting deep in midfield with Ramsey at the 10, or more of a, you know, what, three-man midfield? How do you see that shaking out?
I think that when Ramsey does play that 10, I think that they are going to, especially because I do expect Arsenal to probably sit further back. So I think that it is going to look at Ramsey playing as a midfielder, but with the ability to go forward, you know, really take advantage of his stamina. And I think that's something that he can excel at in this position. So I think it is probably a double pivot with Ramsey, you know, the freedom to move into midfield and into attack.
Yeah, and then it's Aubameyang, Lacazette up front. I was always pretty sure it was going to be those two in this game, and it is. I think he's got it spot on. I thought both had to play a goal.
I do worry, though, because there isn't a true classic connector kind of a guy, that they can get isolated at times, and I think that's why Arsenal do tend to look better when we just play one, because we do have another option, you know, either it's an Iwobi or a Mkhitaryan or an Ozil, that they can just do a little bit more connecting of the play. You know, when we have the two up top, especially when Arsenal don't have a ton of possession, they can get isolated pretty quickly.
It worked great in the first leg. Now, I mean, you could argue it works best with Ozil because Ozil knows how to connect the midfield to the front two. But I think you have to do it this way, Scott. And my reasoning is essentially that, you know, if you have Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang and you're not going to start him in a game that you're likely going to be playing on the counterattack against a team that has to come on to you and attack and push up the pitch, why even have Aubameyang? You have one of the best possible counterattacking strikers in Europe in a game where you're almost certainly going to have counterattacking opportunities. He has to play.
And, oh, I agree. This was definitely was going to be an Aubameyang game. So I guess the question is, was it going to be? I think in this game you had to choose between Lacazette or Ozil, because I think that I struggle when they both play together, because it seems like they're kind of guys that want to take the same space. So I think that
Don't you think in this case Lacazette can come a little deeper and lay it off to Ramsey and Oba running past? I mean, sometimes I think for a counterattack, you need one who can run in and one who will drop deep. Now, Ozil, you're right. I think Ozil is a good choice for the one who will drop deep. But, you know, I think if you play this lineup without Lacazette, then only Aubameyang is really your reliable goal scorer. I mean, I guess you could say Ramsey too. But, like, I think
there would be a dearth of shots in that team.
You're just not going to get shots. I think given that a goal probably kills the tie, you put your 40 goals worth of striker on the pitch. I mean, maybe that's oversimplifying it strategically. I really like this setup. I actually kind of thought we could have gone with the first leg setup. But the interesting thing for me, so in the first leg, we were very, very aggressive pressing. I mean, we pressed way, way up the pitch. I would like to see us continue to be aggressive pressing the ball, but maybe from 10 yards deeper. I mean, for you, is that the strategy? You know, aggressive ball pressure, but maybe instead of doing it in the attacking third, you do it in the middle third.
Yeah, and I think that you could probably see something like that, especially because, you know, you can use your front three, you know, your three guys as the pressing guys that are going to look to do it, because you'll have, you know, cover behind them. You know, you're not going to really push up maybe a wing back and have them get super involved in there. But, you know, you can use your midfield two to do a little bit of the, you know, the man marking, and then your other three guys to kind of go through and pressure the ball, you know, really try to disrupt the game. Because I think that's going to be the big key for Arsenal. I think if they try to sit really deep, that's just bad news, because that's not really the way Arsenal excel in the game. So I think they really need to try to disrupt midfield and really contest that to have a chance in this game, to not make it nervy.
Okay. I mean, the other thing for me watching the first leg was that I thought the weakness in their team was the way their defenders passed. Their passing out from the back was really poor. I thought once they were able to get it you know, progress the ball into the midfield, they looked a lot more confident. And one area where they really hurt us was the gap between our center backs and our wing backs, in particular the Monreal Kolasinac side.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be an issue again today. That'll be one of the big worries.
Yeah, I do think that could be a big worry. But what I noticed is where they hurt us was the early long ball. So if we're sitting a little deeper, I mean, do you think that that helps? Because it's not so much that they played their way through that space, but they played long balls into that space. And I thought there was a lot of confusion about, you know, who was going to pick up the runner. So do you think sitting a little deeper protects us from the long ball like that?
Yeah, and I think if you're not committing, Kolasinac forward, then it's probably going to be maybe leave a little bit less space for Zielinski to run into. Actually, or mm-hmm. it's Callejon.
I think it's Callejon, right? Into. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's the right-sided midfielder there. So I think if you know you're not being super aggressive with the placement of Kolasinac, there's probably a little bit less space because, yeah, that's the one thing with Monreal right now. He just doesn't have the speed over that first like 5 yards to really keep up with you know wingers anymore. I think he's still a good defender. I think he's you know still a very good technical player, really good passer. It's just that 5 yard burst. He's lost that. I think that's something that happens as we get older. Because I know I've lost my 5 yard burst that I had when I was in my 20s.
Yeah, I never had the 5 yard burst, so I don't have to worry about losing it. Which is really nice. I mean, one thing. So it's interesting. They're leaving Mertens on the bench, and I mean, I don't think that means they don't have enough you know potency up front. But is that surprising to you?
Well, I think that guy know. I mean, it's been something that they've rotated pretty often. So it's between Milik and Mertens, and so they're going with the classic, you know, big guy, small guy, kind of up top up front. Mm-hmm. So
win the second ball, kind of thing, like you know, win the first ball and you know, knock it down.
Exactly. So Insigne with the ability to, you know, drop deep. You know, he's got more of the free roll. You know, Milik up against you know the center back. So that'll be the big key there to you know be able to stop those aerial duels that are coming in.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, all things being equal, I think that we have picked a lineup that can get goals. And, you know, it seems obvious to say it because it has been the case, but I think Ramsey is a big key to this game. He's got a very, very big role to play because he is going to have to drop in and help protect the, you know, the back three. And I think cover for Xhaka, who we know has that limited movement, that limited ability to run back towards his goal, but he is going to have to get up and support Aubameyang and Lacazette and sometimes run beyond them to give us the goal scoring threat. So, you know, I he's been playing a lot of football. You know, as a player that sometimes breaks down when he plays a lot, but he's been our best player, I think, over the last few weeks. For you, is this another game for him to star?
I think it is, and I think in this formation, it really does hedge on him because there really is only three attacking players here. In this one, because when Ramsey's as a central midfielder in this one, you know, he is, you know, he can add that and give you a fourth attacking player. But when you have Torreira and Xhaka, neither of those guys are going to give you the consistent runs into the box that Ramsey would in that position. So I think that it really, really depends on him to be able to do it. But I think that Arsenal aren't going to have a ton of, you know, sustained pressure that they're going to put Napoli under with the ball. So they are going to look to be direct. So I think that it's okay to, you know, only, you know, to lose one of those attackers, but a lot of it is going to depend on Ramsey being able to actually connect play and also be able to join the front three.
What's your take on Xhaka in this game? I'm sort of torn because I think he's a player who is very, very important to us in terms of possession and building from the back and, you know, controlling play. But in a game where we may not have a lot of that and the game could be very open and very, you know, played in both attacking thirds, you know, to some extent, I wonder if he's maybe just a little bit too static of a player to have in a game like this. I mean, I personally would have preferred to see the Ramsey Torreira midfield again with Ozil, you know, playing the ball's in transition to Aubameyang and Lacazette. Are you concerned at all about Xhaka's mobility in this game?
So the one thing that I kind of think that this is going to be okay is I think Arsenal are going to be direct, and I think that Xhaka his ability to do the long raking passes out deep. So if he's, as long as he's able to kind of get past the, if they are going to press the first line of pressure, if he gets a second on the ball and he can pick his head up and look and really play one of those long passes, you know, so if, you know, Napoli are pushing their fullbacks forward, you know, imagine him playing a ball out into the deep channels to one of Aubameyang or Lacazette to spring a counterattack. I think that that could be a key way that Arsenal are able to relieve pressure and really kind of hurt them on the break. So I think that that's something that you have there. He's not bad defensively as long as he's not being, you know, stupid and he gets beat and he loses his head. So he does do well positionally. Napoli aren't a super fast attacking team. You know, he kind of does have the skills for a Serie A kind of guy. So I think that this might suit him fine. So I think it's going to be okay.
Yeah. You know, the one thing that I keep thinking is Aubameyang, obviously it's become a huge topic of conversation, the extent to which his finishing has been questionable this season. And I think, look, he's never been a clinical finisher. He's sort of finished about average, right? I mean, he finishes the about average.
Exactly. He's a par finisher.
He's a par finisher who gets an elite amount of chances, but he's finishing below.
You got a goal on Monday.
Yeah. No, I get it. But he's finishing below par this season. So
yeah.
I think, you know, the thought has occurred to me that this stuff tends to even out and that he's overdue for a game where he puts away all his chances, you know, instead of 1 in 5. And I'm just wondering if you think that this could be a game where, given the space he might have to operate, given that Napoli have to, I mean, think about it. They have to push for goals right from the beginning.
And exactly. So I think there's going to be chances for Arsenal. And I think that there will be chances for him to get there.
We very, very rarely play against teams that will come at us, especially teams that are maybe slightly inferior, right? Like if a Manchester City comes at us, they're a better team than us, right? If a Liverpool comes at us, they're a better team than us. They can afford to do that and still control the game. I don't think Napoli is a better team than we are. And so this is the rare chance.
I kind of think back to, you know, the Chelsea match at the very beginning of the season, that, you know, that first half where Chelsea were really pushing forward and Arsenal were really able to just cut them open consistently on the counterattack. There was just so much space. You know, there was
Aubameyang missed his chance.
And I think that that could be a chance, you know, that Arsenal have there again. So
totally agree. And Aubameyang missed his chances in that game quite famously. So yes. Yeah, I mean, I would say that is absolutely right. And in that game, Hector Bellerin was massively important against Marcus Alonso. We obviously don't have Bellerin, but we do have Maitland-Niles, who has come on and played well recently. You know, if we are going to use the wingbacks as the sort of chief route to goal again, as we have, especially on the counterattack. So if it's, you know, spring a wing back and then play the cutback into an Aubameyang, for example, which side of theirs do you see being more vulnerable to that kind of attack? I mean, do you expect it to be the usual left side dominance for us, or do you think it's possible that we might switch it up in this game?
I imagine that it probably will be the left side dominance because, you know, we do have, you know, Xhaka in there as well, and, you know, he's, you know, famously left-footed. So I think that that will probably bring most of the play to that side. And that's just typical, you know, Maitland-Niles, you know, is able to kind of tuck in a little bit, doesn't have the same wide, you know, wing back kind of role. He plays a little bit more in the half spaces from that right side. So I think that it will probably be the same typical build-up play that Arsenal have.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is, in my opinion, the right way to play this game is to think that we need a goal to go through. I mean, we may not need a goal to go through, don't get me wrong, but I think that's the right way to play, is to think we do. You know,
exactly,
and,
yeah, I really don't want Arsenal to, you know, sit back and try and absorb pressure for 90 minutes really deep.
Yeah, and I think we're seeing a slight change in Emery. Would you agree? I mean, even against Watford, you know, we had a goal lead, we had a man advantage, we didn't sit back and try to protect it. I thought his substitutions and the pattern of play in general was pushing for a second goal. I mean, do you get the sense? Look, I hate to bring it up.
Yeah, and I think if it had finished 2-1, it probably would have felt a lot more right.
Because well, that I think was Arsenal what the XG was, too.
Exactly. You know, Arsenal created, you know, plenty of chances, but also were, you know, weak defensively. So I think 1-0 felt wrong, but not, you know, a win wasn't wrong, but, you know, the way it ended didn't quite
seem
right.
That's a great way to phrase it. That's a game where the scoreline didn't quite feel like it reflected play, but the outcome felt like it did. Because what I was going to say, look, nobody wants to think about it, but Unai Emery did have a 4-goal lead going into the second leg, away leg of a Champions League tie against Barcelona, and with some help from the referees, admittedly, he blew that tie. And the criticism of him and of his team in that game was that he was overly conservative, and that started with the selection. This is not an overly conservative selection.
They scored a goal in that game, too.
It was an astonishing game, and I do think the referees had a huge role to play in it. But I think just the lineup alone tonight tells you that he's not being overly conservative. Do you see an evolution in Emery this season that he has started to realize that leaning into our attacking flair, our attacking talent, is going to get the best out of this team, and that we'll probably see the continuation of that tonight?
I hope so. I mean, at times he's done a little bit where he's, kind of leaned back into his natural, conservatism.
What's a recent example of that in your mind?
Man, I'm trying to think. I'm still getting over my hangover of a weekend, so my brain is fizzled.
Boo-hoo. I was on a business trip not halfway around the world, all the way around. Well, actually, you can't really go further than halfway around the world, can you?
Yeah, so otherwise, yeah, you're just closer.
You're closer. Okay, this geography lesson was brought to you by... Okay,
it's like 360. You guys ended up back where you were, so you got to be 180.
Don't you hate that when people say, I've done a complete 360 on this? And you're like, that doesn't make any sense.
You're back to where you started.
Back to where you started. What about the Everton game? I mean, I guess you could say that was a little conservative, but I also thought that was informed by just player availability and rotation. So
yeah, so I mean, maybe it is, and because you look at the defense, and there isn't a ton to choose from. And you can't really play a real back four, because I mean, we don't really have a right-handed fullback at all, or at least not one that we trust. The left side, Monreal isn't really a fullback anymore. Kolasinac definitely isn't really a fullback. He's a true wing back. So I get that he can't do his, natural position, natural formation that he wants to do. So I think it's gotten better. It's not as bad as it was early in the season. So yeah, definitely.
Well, let me ask you this. Let's say, and God, I can't believe I'm about to fucking do this. Let's say we get through tonight. Okay.
All right.
And assuming we do, do we have a decent idea who will be playing in the next round yet, or is that tie on a knife edge?
I think it's Valencia, right? Because it's Valencia versus Villarreal.
Yeah, and Valencia, did they win away?
They have the lead.
Let me just look at that. Let's say Europa League. You're in a bad competition when Google doesn't autocomplete.
Has a 2-1 lead, so they have two away goals and a one goal advantage.
No, it's a 3-1 lead.
3-1? I'm looking here. I thought it says, I can't read. I need my glasses.
Yeah. Well, thankfully, the Lord gave me one good thing genetically, and it's my eyes, and I can see that it says 3-1. So yeah, we're probably playing Valencia. So let me get to the question that I was driving at, which is, if we get through tonight, and assuming we do, where do you think Emery prioritizes at this point? Which do you think is the more likely route to Champions League? Does he have to prioritize the Premier League and top four still? Or now that you're in the semis against a team where you will be a favorite, even if not a big favorite, would you think that he might shift and start to prioritize Europa League?
I still think you got to kind of lean into the league as the number one priority. I think going up at Valencia, we would be the favorite. Maybe like a 60-40 probably favorite. So I think that's probably the main game. So I guess it also depends on, do we know who gets to be home first between the two?
Probably, but I don't know. I don't know what it is. I mean, that probably has been drawn, but no, I don't know.
Yeah, so I mean, I think if we're away first, maybe then you definitely, you rest some guys going into that leg. I mean, I guess I'd have to look at the full fixture list to see what you can do. Because, if we get, an easier, we have our Wolves match. I don't know. It's going to be tough. I think you got to lean towards the league, though.
You think so?
I think until you get to that, I think you can kind of manage him. But I think he's done well right now. Like, I think the rotation that we've had in the league has been good. It's not like it's, a massive amount of changes where he's, fielding massively weakened teams. So I think it's been pretty good. I think his rotation's been about as good as you can expect to kind of give both teams, maximum chances to win.
Yeah. Well, let's turn our attention to the other side of the bracket for a second. I mean, Chelsea, obviously the favorite to meet us in the final, if it were to happen that way. Although, I think the way they've played, anything's possible. They're at home with a 1-0 lead. I mean, maybe a little more precarious for them even than what we have, although they are admittedly playing hot garbage in Slavia Prague. But, I mean, I have a weird, weird feeling that this could be an uncomfortable night for them. Is that just crazy?
It's not. I think Chelsea are known for player mutinies and just all sorts of weird things happening. So it's definitely something that could happen. Their striker situation is still a huge mess.
They're starting with Giroud up front tonight. Everybody's favorite ex-Arsenal player.
That's probably better for them to, because I mean, Higuain, that's a really stupid mistake that they made bringing him in. Did they start Hudson-Odoi on the other wing? Or
nope,
they
it's Pedro and Hazard, Kante, okay. Kovacic, and Barkley, and then the usual suspects at the back. Getting some questions whether Tim is coming and going to be on this. So for those tuning in hoping to hear Tim Stillman and not myself and Scott, which is totally understandable, I would do the same. Tim had a furniture delivery come late, and at the last minute he had to go because they were delivering the furniture into the actual room where he records. So Tim sends his love and appreciation, but you're stuck with us. We're going to go about another 10-15 minutes too. So here, I will give you $50, Scott, okay? I will literally Venmo you or Apple Pay you $50.
Okay.
If you can pronounce two of Slavia Prague's players' names correctly.
All right, let me pull it up here. Let me see if they have something that's somewhat, easy here.
I think there's one you'll definitely get, and beyond that, I give you a 0% chance. Well, no, you're going to have to get three correct. So if you can get three correct, I think I will give you $50.
All right, we're gonna go with Mick Van Buren.
That's not even a player.
Oh. Yeah, he is.
No, he isn't. No. You have to go with a starter.
He's played a full 95 minutes for him this season.
No. You got to go with the starter from tonight's game.
All right, let me pull that up then.
$50 if you can pronounce three names correctly off this team sheet. There are 11 players. You only need to get what is that? 28%, something like that. For those who don't know, Scott, notoriously not good at pronunciations. I don't know that I'm much better. All right, give me three.
All right, I'm pulling it up here. Come on, stupid. Who scored?
You know, you could just Google Europa League and then tap on the Chelsea-Slavia Prague game.
No, I know I can do these things.
So Scott is more of a spreadsheet kind of guy. You know, I find that the people that are good, like with their brain, are not always the common sense people.
It's true.
Like the brain people are not always super common sensey.
All right.
I'm gonna pass on this segment if you can't just bring up the lineup.
All right, here we go.
Okay, let's do it. Three names.
Ibrahim Traore. Did I do okay there?
I'm gonna give you Traore. Yeah, I'm gonna give you that one.
All right, Alex Kral.
I think it's Kral, so I'm not going to give you that.
All right. Simon Deli.
Yeah, Simon Deli's the one I thought you would get. So now you're into it. You're into it here.
All right. Oh, shit. Oh, God. Let's get all these here.
Can you just, for my humor, give me the number eight?
The number eight here. Okay. Jaromir Jamal.
Zimmerhal.
That's four consonants in a row. How do you do that?
I don't know. I do like the name Lucas Massopust. Massopust starts up front for them. All right, I'm not giving you credit for the three, so I don't have to give you $50. Do you see
What do you do with that?
There's a lot of consonants here. And by the way, I think we can probably stop. This has to be probably somewhat insulting. We do not mean it that way. These are just names that are difficult
for fun of them.
Exactly. We're making fun of you, not them. Difficult for English speakers to pronounce these names. But do you see this being a night of glory for Massopust against Chelsea? Can we root for that?
Very well could. Slavia Prague, they only have to, if they score a goal, things could get, really hairy quick for, Chelsea.
See, that's the way I look at it. For a team in Chelsea that doesn't score a lot of goals. If something kooky happens, they get a corner kick, there's a, you know, an own goal, a fluke. Gosh, if they went out, holy cow. So let's say that. Let's say if Chelsea were to go out and you're Unai Emery, do you suddenly have to really prioritize the Europa League because it's a chance at a trophy, it's a chance at Champions League, and it's so open for you?
Man, yeah, because I mean that would, if Arsenal could get past, because that would make Arsenal probably the prohibitive favorites to win the whole thing.
I actually think Frankfurt is a really good team, and I think they could still overturn. Yeah, I mean,
Benfica is not horrible. I mean, they're obviously, you know, handling Frankfurt, but with either team, you know, Benfica is not bad. You know, Villarreal, or sorry, yeah, Valencia is not horrible.
So we'll see. I look at it this way.
I don't think that anybody. I think, you know, Chelsea, Napoli, Arsenal, those are, you know, the three best teams obviously still left. So
let's agree with this. When it's 2-0 Napoli after 20 minutes tonight, we're going to regret the 10-minute segment of this show where we focused on the other teams in the Europa League. Okay, so let's get down to sort of final predictions now as we get ready to sort of say goodbye and tune into our various streams, legal and otherwise. So for me, I think we have it in us to get the goal. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if we go through with a 2-1 loss.
I think there might even be more goals than that. I think it might be like a 3-2 or something like that. I think that it's going to be nervy. I think that Arsenal still will score, but I think Arsenal will definitely concede.
Yeah, the one good thing, again, I can't remember the last game we played where the team we were playing had to go all out to score against us. You know, and while you could say that plays right into our weakness, which is our defense, I think it plays into the strength, which is our ability to counterattack. And would you say, Scott, is it fair to say that as much focus as there has been on our poor defending this season, that low-key, one of our weaknesses this season has actually been turning good attacking situations into shots and goals, that we don't turn our attacking situations into enough shots? I mean, there's a lot of games where we get into a lot of good positions, but we're averaging about 12 shots a game away, which is not very good. I think we had 7 away at Everton. So, you know, is a key tonight making sure that when we have those dangerous counterattacks, we make the right decision with the final ball? I mean, that's something that I think has been a real weakness for us.
I mean, I think the bigger concern for me is probably, you know, handling the press. Because I think if Arsenal are able to really kind of get past the first line of press, I think things will kind of be able to take care of themselves. But
would you play
really,
long?
I think,
would you just play long?
Possibly. I think. I think that might not be a bad idea because you have a two goal lead. You know, you don't need to, you know, build up to, you know, create great goals. I think, you know, play long and really try to disrupt their build up. You know, don't sit too deep. Be direct.
And this is where this is where I get worried, because the one thing that I guarantee you Napoli are going to do is target Xhaka. They're going to press Xhaka because he does struggle with the press.
I think that's why Ramsey's going to be important, because he's going to need to be both a midfielder and a forward in this match.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I mean, if it comes to the point where we need a sub to change the game, we don't really have anyone to come in as a goal scorer per se, except maybe Mkhitaryan. It will be Mkhitaryan and Ozil look like the real game changers. Give me a prediction of the substitution pattern for Emery tonight, if you just had to guess, you know, taking out of it what the circumstances are, just what you think might be on the cards in terms of changes.
I think it's probably going to be one of the strikers. So, I mean, it'll probably depend on how they're looking in the match. But I think you might see, you know, a Lacazette for, you know, one of, you know, the Iwobi, Mkhitaryan or Ozil's. I think that might be the attacking change that's done. And I think if Arsenal get a goal, you know, and they have any sort of a lead, I think you might see, you know, one of the strikers for, you know, a Guendouzi to come in and, you know, kind of help, you know, solidify the midfield a little bit more. I think those are probably the two most likely changes that he can do to kind of change the way the team, you know, is set up to attack or defend.
Yeah, personally, I think if you take off Lacazette, you have to bring on Iwobi because you need someone that the ball sticks with. You know what I mean? Iwobi, one of the low-key really good things about his game is his hold-up play. And if
a lot stronger this season.
He's so strong. And so if Cech is going to kick long, you know, Lacazette can kind of do the hold-up thing. Iwobi does it really well. If you take Lacazette out and put in someone like Mkhitaryan, anytime you kick long, the ball's coming right back at you. I think you need someone who can put his back into a defender, shield the ball, and that would be Iwobi. So if it's Lacazette coming off, I think Iwobi has to come on. I could see Ramsey coming off for a Mkhitaryan or an Ozil. you know, I agree that Guendouzi could be a change, but, you know, ultimately, we don't have any way to reconfigure the defense. So,
no, I mean, it is kind of is what it is.
Do you worry at all in these games? I mean, the Europa League refereeing isn't nearly as good as Champions League. There's no VAR in the Europa League. I always worry about the refs going into this game. Does that give you any kind of cause for concern tonight?
You know, but maybe because Arsenal are probably one of the biggest names left, maybe we get that UEFA magic to bail us out.
I'd take that. I would absolutely take the biased refereeing that puts us into the next round.
Yeah, get a total fishy, you know, who put money on this red card against Napoli?
Yeah, fine. I'll take it. I mean, let's be honest. We haven't gotten that much in our life. And you know, to be fair, this would be a big scalp for Emery. I mean, Napoli is a good team, a big team, and Carlo Ancelotti, obviously a big figure in the game. I mean, for you, assuming we get through this, does this elevate Emery for you? I mean, he's I know for you, his season has been a little hit and miss, and you're not totally sold on him yet, but, you know, that's not to say you want him sacked or anything. You're just, you know, still somewhat on the fence. This would be a big scalp for him.
I mean, no, and I think if he gets this and he gets to the semifinal, that is probably about the minimum expectation that we probably had going into the season for the Europa League. I think that's where we got last year, you know, and that's usually where you run into a tough matchup. So I think that's probably, I mean, if he went out here, it wouldn't be, you know, a huge disappointment. You know, Napoli is not a team that, you know, you really kind of think, oh, we really should have had them. Yes, we are in an advantage right now, and it will really suck to lose that. But, you know, that wouldn't be the worst thing to crash out against. But I think getting to the semifinals is probably about the minimum expectation I had for the Europa League this season. I think he's really put us in that spot where he can get into the top four. He's overperformed this season, but he's really hitting, you know, the requirements. So, I mean, there really isn't that much that you can complain about results-wise.
Yeah, and look, I mean, I think sometimes the way you have to evaluate the Europa League or any of these things, an FA Cup run, is who you play in it, right? I mean, one year we got an FA Cup by beating, what, Wigan and Hull? Or was it Wigan and Villa? But, you know, one year we got it by beating City and Chelsea. I think, you know, last year would have been pretty incredible to get past Atletico Madrid, obviously, and we probably should have and didn't. If we get past Napoli...
Exactly, because, we had a harder, you know, semifinal than it would have been in the final. Because, you know, not that Marseille are a bad team, but, you know, they're not Atletico Madrid.
No, they were one season off a Champions League final, or two seasons off a Champions League final. I think if we get past Napoli, Valencia, and Chelsea on our way to winning a Europa League, that's a major accomplishment. I mean, we're a long way from it, but, you know, it just sort of puts it in perspective. For me, I think if we get through tonight...
I mean, honestly... You look at, you know, what City had in the Champions League, and they had a, you know, arguably easier way to get knocked out by Spurs.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember that happening, so, you know, I'll take your word for it. Doesn't sound like something that happened to me. All right, well, I think we should start to wrap up. How about just quick score prediction for tonight?
I think 3-2 to Napoli, yeah. Arsenal winning.
I do like your prediction of a lot of goals.
4-3.
Yeah, a lot of goals makes a lot of sense tonight because you've got two teams one team that has to go for it and another team that doesn't defend very well but is good in the counter. Yeah, I can see it being a lot of goals, but in the end, I do think 2-1. And I think it could be a situation where they score first, it gets nervy, we get the next goal, and then that sort of just takes a lot of the energy out of the game because Napoli deflate.
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping it's like, you know, maybe Napoli score first, Arsenal answer, Arsenal get a second goal, and then they just go all out attack, and Arsenal kind of sit back and, you know, really kind of, you have a, they have a really big lead there, so it's okay if they kind of sit back and, you know, Napoli get one more, but, you know, aren't able to finish things off.
I love our confidence given that we lost away to Bate Borisov and Rennes, so, you know, we'll see how it goes. All right, well, look, I think we both think we're going to get through.
I know how bad Arsenal are away when we're here, you know.
Yeah, I think we're going to get through. I do. I believe it. So we'll see. We will definitely have a regular podcast following this. We were going to do a live YouTube show, but we decided to do audio instead for a variety of reasons. But we'll definitely do some live YouTube stuff next week. We have a Patreon mailbag coming out next week. So if you want to sign up on Patreon, that'd be great. We're going to be doing a shirt giveaway. I was out of the country, or halfway, as we discussed, around the world. So that took a bit of a backseat for a little bit. But we will... announce the details on that and be doing a shirt giveaway, your choice of a home or away shirt. But you're not allowed to pick Mustafi, anyone but Mustafi. And
I don't know why you would make green shirt.
A lot of good stuff coming up. So, all right, chance to make it to the semifinal tonight. Let's hope that it's a straightforward, you know, 10-0. Path. Yeah, 10-0 the Arsenal. And then Chelsea get knocked out, and it'd be a beautiful night all around. Scott's on Twitter, @O_that_crab. Thanks, Scott.
It's awesome.
Yeah, my name's Elliot Smith. You can block me on Twitter, Yankee Gunner. Give us a 5-star review. Write nasty things about Tim and Clive and Paul and all of them. But yeah, we will be back, and hopefully it will be right after Arsenal 10, Napoli 0. Up the Arsenal.